I'm so proud of our family here, our church right now. There are churches that wouldn't allow people like Cass to come in here. Disruptive. Want to keep it clean and orderly. My question to them would be, where do you want them to find hope? If you're throwing up your arms and saying, we don't have anything for you here, Cass, where do you want him to go for help, for hope? Some other church? Some other organization? Where do you want them to go? If we don't have the hope for these people, no one does. I'm just going to tell you that. And I'm not about to turn anybody away from the hope of the gospel. But your arms are open, and I've watched you love anyone of any age and of any strata of society. You love people. And I thank you for what Jesus is doing in all of our hearts, really. All right, back to script. Joshua chapter 9 is an amazing. We're going through Joshua. It's a great story. We're actually kind of moving into the back half, and I think this is a great encouragement for us, because the reason is this church is growing. This church is on the move. There is something happening here. Jesus is here. He is changing all of us regularly now, and we are on the move. We are making a difference in people's lives of every kind. And so as we move, like those in Joshua moved, there's this really unusual thing that happens here in chapter 9 and 10, really. I think we need to look at this as we move. As you think of us moving, we have to see this. You can see it in a personal way for yourself, for your family. You can see it as a family of God here. This is an interesting story in Joshua chapter 9. My subtitle says the Gibeonite deception. Don't let that fool you. Just listen, let me read beginning at Joshua chapter 9. I'll read the first 10 or 11 verses. I don't know, till I decide to stop. As soon as all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland, all along the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, when they heard about this, they gathered together as one to fight against Joshua and Israel. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they, on their part, acted with cunning, and they went and made ready provisions and took worn-out sacks for their donkeys and wineskins, worn-out and torn and mended, with worn-out and patched-up sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes. All their provisions were dry and crumbly. And they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We've come from a distant country. So now make a covenant with us." But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you live among us, then how can we make a covenant with you? They said to Joshua, "We're your servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" And they said to him, "From a very distant country. Your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard a report of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country said to us, 'Take provisions in your hand for the journey and go to meet them and say to them, We are your servants. Come now, make a covenant with us. Here's our bread. It was still warm when we took it from our houses as our food for the journey on the day we set out to come to you. But now, behold, look, it's dry and crumbly. These wineskins, they were new when we filled them, and behold, they have burst. And these garments and sandals of ours are worn out from the very long journey. So the men took some of their provisions, but didn't ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. At the end of 3 days, after they had made a covenant with them, they heard that they were their neighbors and that they lived among them. And the people of Israel set out and reached their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chephereth, Beeroth, Kiriath-Jearim, but the people of Israel did not attack them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. Then all the congregation murmured against the leaders, but all the leaders said to all the congregation, "We've sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This we will do to them. Let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath that we swore to them." And the leaders said to them, "Let them live." So they became cutters of wood and drawers of water for all the congregation, just as the leaders had said to them. So here's what happened. They had just beat Jericho. They had beat Ai. They just went out on Shechem, made a new covenant, just kind of renewed the whole covenant to Abraham. And so these kings of all these little tribes around them, all these little states or whatever you want to call them in Israel, all these kings, they saw that, wow, they were actually turned back once at Ai. There is hope. And so these kings all banded together to go and fight Israel. So all these southern middle range kings now in a coalition, we're going to go fight. But a few families of this one tribe that's going to fight, the Hivites, they're all going to go fight. But there's a couple cities of those Hivite people, and they said, no, it's not what we want to do. And so they came up with this great plan to put on all this worn-out clothing, worn-out wineskins, dry, crumbly bread, this whole thing, and go and tell them, look, we want to make a peace treaty with you. We're your servants. We heard about your God. He's great. We want to be in a covenant with you, is what they said. We want a peace treaty. We want an agreement signed with us. And they fooled them. They tricked Israel. Israel bought it. So that's the Gibeonites. They were Hivites. And they pulled this thing off. Even though if you think about some of this evidence here, you just go, wait a minute, that ain't right. Come on now. I mean, yeah, the bread was dry when it came, was warm when it came out of the oven. Of course it was. They signed a covenant with them. That was wrong. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, and this is why they were doing this, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, Moses clearly taught, and God told Moses, when you go into the land, you do not make a covenant with anyone in this land. I'm sending you in there to judge these people. They are crazy, wicked people. We're going to wipe them out, but you do not make a covenant with any of these people. So they had to be from far away, because if they were neighbors, there was no covenant. And that's why Israel kept asking them, who are you? Where do you come from? And they kept saying, we're from really far away. So they could do it. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Again, Moses says, you don't make a covenant. You don't join up with the people of the land. And this is important. Why? Because if you do, your sons and daughters will marry these people and will turn them away from the Lord, the God of Israel. So I don't want your kids to be marrying up with culture, particularly wicked culture, and being turned away from our God. So it was very important. There was practical reasons. It was the future of Israel. It was he didn't want them deluded. if you will, by the culture. Didn't want them deceived and deluded for the children's sake. But Israel, including the great Joshua, was fooled. What was the real sin here? The real sin was here in verse 14. So the men took some of the provisions but did not ask counsel from the Lord. That was the real sin. Of everything the Lord had done, of everything they had gone through along the way, going up, beating Zion and Og, crossing the Jordan, Jordan's parted, go to Gilgal. Of everything they did, now they're a little bit heady. They've won a few victories, signed the new covenant there up at Shechem, renewed that covenant. Everything's good, and here comes some people really looking like they're in need, wanting to sign a covenant with them. And what do? Well, let me taste that bread there. Yeah, boy, this is pretty nasty bread. Let me look at that. And they never asked the Lord for counsel on this situation. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. I want to read that. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say this: if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So I would say to you that the real sin, what happened in Israel getting fooled, the real sin was they did not go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is your will with this people? James is talking to you and I and just saying, we make so many plans. And this looks like it's a business plan to me. Today or tomorrow, we'll go into this land and we're going to make a profit. I've got a business plan. I'm going to go do this. And instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do this. That's a good lesson for this church right here. As we keep moving, we can't think we have it knocked. We have to stop at every critical juncture. Everything along, and this is on a daily basis. We have to stop and say, Lord, what's your will? If it's your will, I will go and do this. Never get a little bit of a big head. Never get a little pride going on. Never think we can't be fooled. That's the real sin here. It's for you and I in America in 2019 to think, I've got this. I don't need to go to the Lord and ask. I've got this. We're smart. I've got this. I don't need to go to the Lord and submit to His will. And I would say this is a prerequisite, not a postrequisite. And what I mean by that is, I hear a lot of people say, after the things have crumbled, after their plans have failed, to go, oh well, it must have been the Lord's will. That's a post-requisite. That's just throwing in the towel. This is a prerequisite. Before I ever do this thing, Lord, what is your will? If it's your will, Lord, bless me here. This is a prerequisite, not, oh, well, I guess the Lord didn't want that to happen. I don't know what that is. We go to Him first. We go to the Lord at every juncture, at every turn. We keep going to the Lord. We pray to the Lord. We talk to the Lord. We are submitted to the Lord. The real sin was that they didn't go to God. This story, as you look in your Bible, and I read this little subtitle and I get distracted so easily, the Gibeonite deception. And I look at this and I start thinking about this story about the Gibeonites and how cunning they are. How could Israel be so stupid? And I get to a point where I start trying to figure out how can we get into this so that we're not that stupid. And that is a thought. But this story is not really about the Gibeonites at all. They were just one little family. Here's what I want you to see as you and I, this boat we call Cornerstone, doing such amazing things right now. This is what I want you to see as we move forward. This is what I want you to pray about for this church. I want you to pray for our board for this church. I want you to pray for us. I want you to pray for the music. I want you to pray for the leaders. I want you to pray for all of us. This is how I want you to pray. This is what you need to see here. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 2, there was a coalition banding together to fight. And there was a few towns banding together to fool. We're going to be fought against, and others are going to try and fool us. There's two ways to skin a cat, to use an old term. Sometimes they will just come up to you and fight and just oppose you. Sometimes they'll fool you. They'll fool you. You need to understand that. There's going to be a lot of people come along and they're just going to go, I hate religion. I don't want your God. I stay away from me. And there's other people going to come in and join up and want to join with us. Come in. I'm on your side. I speak the same language you speak. I go to this. I do that. God, 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 dude. They're going to come in and want to fool us, want to teach us, and want to recreate us. Maybe accuse us. Oh, you should be doing this. There are people that are going to want to fool us, fool you, fool your kids. Your kids are going to go to school. They're going, I'm your best friend, man. I'm on your side. I got this God thing with you. Your kids are going to know when someone's opposing them. Your kids are going to know when someone doesn't like church, doesn't like religion. They know who those kids are. But what about the ones that are going to try and fool them? Done marriage counseling for way too long, probably. How many marriages, Terry, have we had come to us, said, I married her. I thought she was a Christian. I married him. I thought he was a Christian. 6 months later, oh man, what did I do? He didn't even want to go to church now. She doesn't even want to do anything. I don't even think she's a Christian. How many marriages have we counseled? Somebody was fooled. It happens in real life. You will be fooled or fought against, and probably both in your lifetime. How are you going to do that? What are you going to do? That's the question. They don't just have to oppose us. There's another threat, and that is they will fool us. To be sure, this whole story of Joshua is not about Joshua. It's not about Canaan. It's not about Israel. To be sure, this whole story, everything that's happened here, is about God. Who's been faithful? Joshua is a book of who's been faithful. It's been God. It's been God. From the very first chapter, God said, God did, God turned, God this, God that. Listen as I read. Lord said to Joshua, the son of Moses, the son of Nun, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land I am giving you. I'm giving you this land. I've gave it to you. Amazing stuff. All the way through, every bit through. Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel. Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, its mighty men of valor. Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. God told him what to do. And in chapter 8, the Lord said to Joshua, "Don't fear, don't be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise and go to Ai. I've given this land to you." All the way through, God has said, "I've given you this. I've done it. It's there. Just do it right. Just go with me. Don't make a covenant with some unbeliever, somebody in culture. Don't latch arms with culture. I'm doing this." And God has been faithful through the entire book. And even when they stumbled at Ai, God told them what the problem was. "Get up. Here's the problem. Find this family. Find this guy. Take care of the problem. I'm still there. We've got ground to conquer. Let's go." This is a book of God's faithfulness to us. This is critical for us right now. Critical for this church. I'll give you a couple of applications for us to think about. There's two things. The main sin of this part, the main sin was they never went to God for whatever reason, thinking they could think through this, thinking, "I don't need God for everything," thinking, "God is really with us, look at all He's doing," thinking these things, they didn't go to God about this covenant they were going to make with these people. Tasted the food, checked out the wine sacks, looked at their poor, pathetic sandals. Okay, they're from a real, real long way away. This book began this way. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." The book, the Bible, what we call the law, first five books of the Bible, was already begun to be written. This book of the law has been given to you to read and meditate day and night. And then Joshua, all through this story, the Lord said to Joshua. The Lord spoke to Joshua. So two things have happened throughout the book of Joshua. Number one, they're in God's written word already, day and night, meditating, following the roadmap. And Joshua has a personal sort of prayer life, sort of communication relationship with God all through the book. So the Lord spoke to Moses this. You'll read that all through Joshua. "Oh, the Lord spoke to Moses, so we have to do this." That's the word of God. And God said to Joshua, okay, he's talking now. He's got his own personal relationship. There's two things happening through this book. The word of God in prayer and a relationship with Him. That's happening. Don't lose that. We can't do this same sin, this same scenario, and think that we're in America now, we have it, we've got this, we have resources, we're smart, I have administrators, I have business owners here, I have moms and dads, I have brilliant people here. Look, we've got this, we can never put our guard down. Oh, how quickly did they figure out they were fooled. And we will know it right away. In 3 days, they knew they'd been fooled. And they didn't ask God because they thought they had this. That's us. And I don't want that to happen to us. I don't want that to happen to you, to your families, to your kids. Go to the Word of God. Go to prayer. Ask Him, "Lord, what do I do?" We can't make this mistake. And I'm going to tell you that here's the hard part. What do you do with a guy like Cass? Just do the Jesus thing with him? Just love him? Yeah. What do you do with some of these complex issues surrounding your kids, your middle school, your high school. There are complex life issues. Somehow you've got to get them through. How are you going to do that with the Jesus thing? Yeah. You see, our culture is going to tell us we have so many resources. Don't be naive. Do not be naive. This Jesus thing, it's nice on Sunday, but it ain't going to walk with your child to school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You better have some help. And I'm telling you, the best thing you've got going for your child, the very best thing you've got going is God. And your family at home 24/7 walking with the Lord in His Word and speaking to Him, because they're facing a mighty culture. They're looking at you and seeing who you really are. What really makes mom and dad tick. And I'm saying the best thing you've got going for you is God and His Word and His prayer and His promises. They will learn more by watching you and listening to culture. If you're not walking with the Lord, they're going to know just how not to walk with the Lord. Really. How to talk it but not walk it. And I'm telling you, then you're going to come back and go, oh God, my child went, and I didn't know, and oh Lord, what's happening? And I'm going to tell you, you came off the path way back. The best thing you've got going is to live it 24/7. Live the Word. Live the prayer. Have a relationship with your Lord. He still lives. He will somehow guide you through it. And I'll use the same words. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. It will take strength and courage. It will take unbelievable, unhuman. It will take a God-given, Spirit-given strength and courage to live this out today when there are so many resources. So much coming across online going, really? The Jesus thing? You still doing that? Your kids are online. You better know what they're finding. It will take strength and courage from God for you to walk and lead your families to His promised land, to where you want to go, Lord willing. Submit to Him. Get in His Word and prayer. Know that you are the biggest example of Christianity your kid has going. How's that going? Are you a nice person or are you gods? Sold out gods. Who are you? Don't neglect the personal relationship, the prayer, God's Word. He's still faithful through it. Be strong and courageous. The second one, every one of us here needs to hear. No perfect anybody. No perfect anything here. Here's the second application. Like Israel, when you've been fooled, and you will get fooled, and we will get fooled, just own it. Own it and honor God in it. Own it and honor God in it. You've been fooled. Joshua was fooled. He sinned. He didn't go to the Lord, but he was fooled. And what happened? You would think, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think that he was fooled? They made a covenant and an oath. You would think, next words out of God's mouth are, you've sinned, what are you doing? Go back and chop every head off in that tribe. There's no way, I told you no. You would think that's the next thing, right? That's not what happened. You read the story, you start reading ahead here, chapter 10. Do Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. So Joshua came suddenly upon him, having marched all night from Gilgal. And he threw him into a panic, and they were fighting these people. All these kings were gathered together. They were going to fight them. They had just been fooled, and now God says, nope, I'm giving them into your hand. You're going to march 25 miles through the night. You're going to get to these five kings, to this massive army, and I'm going to give it to you. And as they fled before Israel while they were going down the ascent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died, and there were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. And at that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord, and he said, Lord, may the sun stand still and the moon stand still. May the sun stop and the moon stop, and the nation took vengeance on. There's been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Go on, chapter 10, the Lord fought for Israel. Chapter 11, the Lord fought for Israel. And they were fooled. They were just fooled. They did some really stupid thing right there. How did they stay in God's grace? How did He continue to fight for them? Because they were fooled, and they owned it, and they honored God in it. You see what they said there? We have made a covenant in the name of the Lord. Verse 19, all the leaders said, we have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This we will do, or we'll get wrath upon us. We swore to them. Verse 18, we have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. We can't touch them. We were fooled. They owned their foolishness. They owned it. I was fooled. But I now have to honor God's name in it. A covenant in the name of the Lord is still a covenant. It's in His name. I have to honor His name in it. A marriage covenant. You married someone. You stood in a church. And in the name of God, you were married, you did a covenant, and some pastor hopefully said something to you that this is now a covenant you're making before Almighty God. And you made a covenant, and 6 months later, you found out that this guy or this girl was just giving you a bunch of talk, and they're really not a Christian, and I'm telling you, honor the covenant. 1 Corinthians 7 says, if you're married to an unbeliever, you stay with them. If they'll stay with you, you stay with them because you sanctify them. You set them apart. There's a possibility. You don't know, but there's a possibility. You stay with them. Honor my name. It's a marriage covenant. Before the Lord God. And you honor His name in it. If they're willing to live with you, if they're sexually immoral, He's given you the path out. If they leave you, you're not bound, it says. If they're sexually immoral, you're not bound by that covenant anymore. But if they're willing to live with you, you honor my name and you live with that spouse. Honor that covenant. It's a marriage covenant. New Testament talks about you're not supposed to be in a binding business covenant business relationship. But you found out now, oh man, these people are crazy. Honor the name, the Lord's name in it. We have a baptism coming up in a couple weeks. It's not a covenant. Baptism is not a covenant. It's an ordinance. It's not a sacrament. There is no value. There is no merit to God towards your salvation from baptism. It's an ordinance to be obeyed and done. But I'll tell you what, me and the elders of this church are going to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you are going to be baptized. You're going to display your faith. You're dying to yourself and rising again in the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you, you better honor the name of the Lord. You had better walk like you just got dunked in the name of the Lord. His name is still holy. Correct me if I'm wrong. When you supposedly receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, is it not called the new covenant of His blood? You and I signed on the dotted line with our heart and in baptism, and we said, this is the new covenant of your blood. I'm making a covenant to you in your name. I'm yours. I'm your servant. Put a towel around my waist. I'm walking with you. And life got hard. Life took some strange turns. And now it's starting to hurt a little bit. It's starting to cost me a little bit. This is not what I thought it was. And you got fooled. But somebody didn't explain to you the gospel from the very day one. No, you might end up on a cross. And I'm telling you, you better honor your covenant to the Lord. It's in the name of the Lord our God. It's the new covenant of His blood. And you know what Hebrews says? Pity the fool who tramples the blood of Christ, of the covenant, under his feet. Pity the fool who tramples that blood under his feet. You better honor your covenant if you gave your life to Christ. If you said, hey buddy, I'm with you, dunk me, get me up, because I'm no longer Terry anymore. I'm servant of Jesus. You better honor it, because His name is still holy. And that may be the biggest downfall, the biggest sin in the church in America, and maybe worldwide, I don't know. But in America, that may be the biggest sin going on in church America today. The name of God is no longer holy. Forget about all the stupid stuff. Forget about the symptoms of all that. In America today, the Word of God, His name is no longer holy. Who gives a crap? He's good. He loves me. He's fine. I'll be all right. No. His name is holy. And if you're going to walk and talk and say, I'm Jesus, you better walk and talk it. He's holy. His word is holy. Listen to me. Listen to me. He's still faithful to us. We're going to get fooled. But man, own it. I got fooled. I was stupid. Man, what was I thinking? Own it. Claim it. You're still living, walking in the name of the Lord. And because they honored it, no, we can't touch them. I know, but I can show you right here in Deuteronomy 20. Look. That's wrong. I know, but I was fooled, and I'm going to honor the oath I made, the covenant I made in the name of the Lord. I'm going to stand by it till it hurts. And God blessed him. And God blessed him. He said, my name means more to you than the situation you now found yourself in because of your foolishness, and I will walk with you. Go ahead. You know those kings? You're going to march all night long, 25 miles through the night, marching, 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 marching. Try that sometime if you think that's easy. And you're going to get there, and you're going to kick their booty. And I'm going to throw down hailstones. I'm going to kill more than you are. Just go do it. And it's just after that. It's just that we're going to come to a chapter. It says Joshua defeated 31 kings in his life. You know what? Because he was fooled, they owned it, and they honored, they wanted just God's name above everything. That's what was important to them. And I'm telling us right now, this train is moving. This bus is moving, folks. Get on the bus. God is blessing. God is moving here. We have a youth group now. Have you comprehended that yet? I still stop and tell myself, I got a youth group now? And we're going to get fooled. And you as a parent are going to get fooled. And our youth leaders, they're going to get fooled. I hear kids all the time having little conversations over here. Yeah, Mama didn't want me to watch that movie, but we watched it. You're going to get fooled. But you know what you need to do? You need to honor God's name. Even when you got fooled, you honor His name. And if you made a stupid covenant, you made a stupid covenant with somebody, you never should have been in covenant with, you honor His name. Above all things, you honor His name. And you're not disqualified. You're not out of it. He's going to come back and you say, that's fine, I got this. Okay, you're going to have little problems here, but guess what? Let's go. I've given you that land, and I've given you that land, and I've given you that land. I'm still with you, and I'm still fighting for you. The best thing this church will ever do. We are going to make mistakes. The best thing we're going to do is honor our mistakes, honor His name in it, and keep going. There is no one here above being fooled. Keep going. I close with this verse. This is what started it all. And you might have read right by it. When Joshua was by Jericho, just near Jericho, in a field outside of Jericho. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. Awesome. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy. And Joshua did just that. That sets up all these victories. That happened just on the way to Jericho in some random field near Jericho. There's the angel of the Lord with the sword. Whew, am I glad to see you. Are you for us or them or what? No. I'm for the Lord. I'm here to do the Lord's business. And by the way, where you're standing now, I'm here, that's holy ground. Take your shoes off. You need to know that you're a soldier of the Lord. This church is a soldier of the Lord. Your family is a soldier of the Lord. Is he for you or against you? Yes. Neither. Both. Yes. Take your shoes off. He's here. He's going to do his purpose in you and your family. If you march with him, he's got land to conquer. He's got places to go. Oh, he's for you. You're his child. Yes, he's for you. But more than that, above that, I'm the Lord's army. I'm here to do God's will. That's what counts. Put His name up there above everything in your life. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. This is not easy. His name. You make a covenant in His name, you better honor it. I don't care if you married Attila the Hun, you better honor your covenant. As long as Attila will stay with you and be faithful to you, you stay with Attila. Honor it. His name goes above everything. It's the best chance your children have of following him and walking with him when they follow you and walk with you to church and to serve and to pray and to do the Lord's business. You're on holy ground. Your family becomes holy ground. It's His will. It's His will we're here to perform. We will be fooled. Own it. And put His name above everything. If you're not the hope of your children finding Christ, who is? Who is? Who's in the first line for your child to see Christ and walk with Christ? Who is? They see you more than anybody. Your family becomes holy ground. Isn't it great the Lord is faithful? Isn't it great the Lord is still faithful to even some of us who get fooled? We're not perfect in any way. But God won't abandon us. Some of us, as we look back over our life, we've been fooled a number of times. We've got a history. Our biography looks kind of strange. Some chapters were really stupid. Some chapters were really smart. How do we do this? Some of us have been fooled along the way. Get back. Get up. What are you doing? God said, get up. Get my name up here. Get my name up here. We're going to win some more battles. Honor the covenant you made with me. The new covenant of my blood, remember that? Get back up. I haven't abandoned you. Just honor my name. Put me up there. That's his church. Your family's yours. Your family's your business. We'll do everything we can. I cannot go home with you and say, hey, come on, let's read our Bible now. Hey, come on, let's go to church this Sunday. Hey, come on, I can't do that for you. But if you do, God will be as faithful to you as he is to me or anybody else in this church. God is still faithful. This is a book about God's faithfulness to sometimes foolish people. He will not abandon you. Will not abandon you. God is good. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for this happening in Joshua 9 and 10. Thank you for your faithfulness above all things, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I humble myself before you. I've made countless mistakes, been a fool countless times. You've been faithful to me. And I pray for us. I pray for Cornerstone. Lord, forgive us. Help us repent. Help us to own it. And above all things, may we honor your name. Pray for each family here, each mom and dad. Oh, Lord, their kids are facing a world of culture out there that wants to fool them. Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray each parent will go to you regularly. Walk the walk and talk the talk. Be in your word. Lord, keep leading us. Thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for every youth, every child, every parent, every senior, every senior. Lord, be with us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.